Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. You see the power of the metal, too? All through the commercial, Sarah and I are in here just going, dan, 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 dan. It's totally getting our Beavis on with Electric Funeral. Electric Funeral. Even the song title is badass. Yeah. Wait, hold on. Joe Perry guitar break coming up. Fuck, 101. Yeah, see?
Wow.
Look at me hitting those posts. All right. 503-733-2970. Sarah, did we ever make you hit posts? Did we ever do a post-hitting contest with you?
Yes, we did.
I think it's time to do it again.
I think we have a lot of other stuff to get to. Well, we should do it tomorrow.
I don't think the kids have to learn how to do that anymore.
No, they don't, because...
There are no jobs for them to do them.
You'd have to be able to get a job in radio. That computer never has a problem hitting the post.
I'm just qualified to be a button pusher.
God. Yeah, and you know, the thing is, with that voice, with voice software and technology, I sound like my dad using like a completely vague term. Well, with the technology now, which means nothing. But I'm telling you, it's like radio stations are only one step away from being able to have a computer with a human voice that will be indistinguishable from a real human. You know, because there's websites that you can go to now where you type in, like, have you guys gotten that monkey mail thing?
No.
There's this website that's around, it's out there now, and it lets you send postcards to people, like e-postcards or what, e-cards or whatever they're called. But the deal is, you go to the website, and it's not a plug, but you go and you type in a bunch of phrases like stringy milk, you know, Sarah rules, you know, whatever, long live Tim. And you send, you hit send, it shows up in the people's boxes like a little flash animation, and it's like of a monkey, and it says out loud whatever you've typed in, blah, 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 blah. It's kind of gimmick. It's kind of interesting. Like, you can make it say, like, my friend Robin was, like, making the monkey, you know, recite dialogue from Pride and Prejudice. So, but the point is, it's a computer-generated voice, but it sounds pretty real.
It's not a real monkey.
No, it's not a real monkey.
Okay. Because people are going to think it is.
No, within 5 years, I'm telling you right now, you're going to turn on the radio in 2010, and you're going to hear a lot of, that was the Doobie Brothers taking you for a ride on that black water. Well, some regular water falling out of the sky here in Portland today as we got the rain coming.
Can you imagine somebody still playing the Doobie Brothers?
Oh, dude, they're going to be playing the Doobie Brothers. They're going to play the Doobie Brothers, and they're going to be playing Night Moves, like, until the end of goddamn time. And you will think it's a DJ, and it's not. It's going to be a box. I mean, it's a box now, but at least it's a box with a human voice on it. In future, not even going to be that. It's going to be the monkey mail thing. And it's going to be a computer program saying, okay, and tonight it's a whole lot of lead coming up at 8 o'clock.
Is it riding around under the rascals?
Yeah, yeah. Except as we age, it won't be get the lead out. The get the lead out for the new generation is a mandatory Metallica.
Will it be like reaching a state of nirvana?
Oh, God. Oh, no. Have you
heard
that?
Yeah, that's right. No,
have you heard that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, no. No, I remember when I first started hearing rock stations do, in some markets they call it Mandatory Metallica, and in some markets it's the Mighty Met. I've heard it called the Mighty Met, like on Z-Rock, they called it the Mighty Met. And that's my generation's get the lead out. I mean, it's like, or In the Pink. That's the other thing they'll be doing till the end of time. Half an hour Pink Floyd. And it'll just be like a Winamp program, just running away. Meanwhile, a jock somewhere will be holding up a Tidyman's with a gun trying to feed his family. So, good times for all. It's 503-733. Doesn't affect me none. 503-733-2970. We're going to talk to William Carlton, the video game guy, here in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with a man who is truly irreplaceable by man or machine, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS Radio presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. We did not want a war, said W, but now we're stuck with one. And the troops going to be there till at least 08. Isn't that the next election?
Is Iraq kind of a you break it, you bought it kind of a thing? Yeah. Where he's like, I didn't want this war. And like, I'm sorry. Look, I don't make the rules. I just, you break the country. I got to make you pay for it.
Things are getting better all the time. They're building schools and museums.
War is peace. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, a substitute teacher will spend the year on probation for tying a noose around a young boy's neck during an after-school program.
Isn't that a song, tie a noose around a young boy's, or is that tie a ribbon?
That's tie a ribbon.
Okay.
Tony Orlando went on.
Prosecutors say Albert Coleman Jr. wanted to punish the boy for not following instructions to do his homework. He asked the boy if he knew what strangulation was, made him stand on the chair, then put the looped end of a decorative string that was hanging from a light fixture around the boy's neck and then kicked the chair. Coleman told the grand jury he was only playing.
Well, I mean, that's right up there with the, you know, it's like every guy makes that, you know, have you ever been in a Turkish prison? I mean, what kind of a question from a teacher is it? Do you know what strangulation is? Are you a fan of Michael Hutchins? All right. Well, whatever. Whatever you say.
Well, if you've ever been frustrated on an airline losing your luggage, you're in good company. Only 30 million bags were temporarily lost in 2005, and 200,000 of those were never reunited with their owners, so that's a pretty good record.
Where could they go? And I'm not trying to be flip about this. It's not like a...
This is only 1% of 3 billion bags processed last year by airports.
When I say things like, where do these bags go? I'm not trying to be flip or... Yeah. I'm not speaking figuratively, colloquially. Really... Where do they go? I mean, where could 200...
This is the mishandling of baggage transfers.
Yeah, but I mean, you think somebody... Like, 200,000 the bags, that makes quite a pile. You think somebody'd notice it.
Mm-hmm. The average bags are returned to their owners in a little over 31 hours or 1.3 days. There is no industry standard for permanently lost bags.
Right.
In some countries, they're later sold at auctions.
You know, where's my insulin? It's being auctioned off in Thailand.
There is an unclaimed baggage center, and it is in Alabama.
It's a big empty state with nothing in it.
Uh-huh.
It's either there or Wyoming. Just pile it up in the middle somewhere.
Most of the merchandise sold is clothing, but also includes cameras, electronics, sporting goods, jewelry, and, of course, the luggage itself.
They can't just sell... Now, wait a minute. This is a racket. They can't just lose your crap and then sell it. That seems like a bit of a... That seems like a bit of controlling both sides of the capitalistic equation. That's a little bit of a monopoly. If the guys who are in charge of handling your bags are the same guys who sell it if they never can find you, somebody's lining somebody's pocket there. But again, I continue to ask, look, if I lose a pair of socks under the couch, I can feel the lump. Like, I know it's there, right? If you lose 200,000 bags...
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'd be somewhere. You can't hide 200,000 bags.
They're in Alabama.
I guess who's going to go to Alabama to look for them, though?
Nobody would ever think of something.
Like, who's going to, you know, I mean, really, where's my bag? Alabama. Oh, crap.
Like, Central, connect me with Alabama.
Crap. Yeah, screw it. I'll just buy new luggage. I guess if it does come down to getting your, you know, to getting your underwear back and going to Alabama, you're just going to opt to go to, you know, you're going to opt to go to Ross. Yeah.
Okay. Tab or penis watch?
Take a look at my enormous penis. My troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
A Russian court has given a 3-year suspended sentence to a woman who cannot offer her husband genitals in a fit of jealousy. The tragic incident occurred, shocking the whole neighborhood, happened after a family quarrel, when one of the many that the couple used to have. The wife, Yulia, 31, had an unsuccessful marriage before her and was madly jealous of her 41-year-old husband, Nikolai. Nikolai, in turn, gave his wife grounds for jealousy. Okay, this is one of those Russian translated English
ones. Oh, I see.
What happened? Words missing?
Happy smile family wish contest show. Yeah.
He would often not come home at night, later claiming he had been working.
He no treat good, me cut.
Julia, however, was well aware of her husband's popularity with women, and noisy arguments were frequent in the family. One night when Nikolai returned home fairly late, Julia accused him of infidelity and was told to pack her belongings and leave the house altogether with her children from a previous marriage. After that, Nikolai fell asleep, but not for long.
Listen.
In a couple of hours, he was awoken by an unbearable pain in his groin. In that moment, Yulia was tearing away from the house, clutching a bloody kitchen knife in her hand. She says she does not remember, this must be a sleepwalking thing, whether she or her husband's...
The Ambien.
She didn't remember her husband's genitals. Oh, she had her husband's genitals in her other hand, and she couldn't remember whether or not she threw them away. When Yulia came to her senses, went to her neighbor's house and told her and why she had punished her husband, the neighbors then called the ambulance that took Nikolai to the hospital.
The syntax in this story is really a little far afield.
Yulia later visited her husband in hospital and begged him to forgive her, but he was not sympathetic.
Okay. Wait, so she was carrying something in her hand and she wasn't sure if it was his genitals?
Could be a penis, could be the remote control.
Here's the second Russian penis story.
Oh, God.
Russian doctors have managed to make a new penis for a patient who had lost his organ in a dog attack.
Yeah!
The victim was so thin that his cousin had to become a skin donor for the successful operation.
Can you donate skin to make a penis?
I guess so.
Look, I'm gonna...
That's politely, I suppose.
That conversation is just layers of awkwardness, though.
That's a friend.
Look, well, probably thought the KGB's knocking on the door.
Well, so, I mean, but it's like there's one hurdle after another. Like, look, I'm gonna need your skin. Why? I'm gonna need to make a penis.
Okay. I mean, it seems like a reasonable request.
We're gonna sew it onto your cousin. That's a weird idea, by the way, that look, if I can speak bluntly for a moment, the idea that...
Well, they're in the operating room, and the doctor says, what do we do now?
Somebody offers
a solution.
And plus, don't you have a fat cousin? What are you doing with this role?
And they're like different skin tones and stuff.
Seriously, he'll totally have one of these parts is not like the other thing. And plus, let's all speak together as adults here. If you donate part of your skin, did it say where the skin's coming from?
The cousin.
No, but I mean, what part of the, thank you. What part of the cousin?
Let's see here. Oh, okay. Russian doctors have never made such an operation before. During a month that they were waiting for the skin to grow on the donor's back.
From the back.
They stretched it with a penis expander.
Okay, let's stop.
After the process
is
over...
Your back's all hairy, though.
After the process is over, they will perform another operation. And only then will the man fully recover.
The man's never going to fully recover.
Russia.
You never fully recover from having your cousin have to donate back skin to make you a penis. That's a thing. There's no recovery from that. There's not enough therapy in the world. Jesus
Christ. Plus, he'll never let him forget it.
Well, what are they going to do to fill in the back skin?
Maybe it's like this is the house that Jack built thing, where they have to take skin from somebody else's butt to fill in the cousin's back, to make the penis that Jack lost.
Well, at least the Russians are finally doing something good for humanity.
No, my point was going to be, wouldn't it be a bizarre sensation to know, though, that your skin is out somewhere having a good time on someone else? Do you know what I mean? You donate skin to give your cousin a new penis. He's out... using it.
I suppose there's some counseling involved.
You're sitting at home watching Matlock, you know, and you're sitting at home watching Matlock, and meanwhile your back skin is out having sex without you. Maybe that's just me Hi, William Carlton?
Yes, sir.
Oh, he's been here all the long.
Have you? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to subject you to this horrible story on hold. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, my man. Let's have a look. It's the fourth time I've been on your show, but it's the first time I followed the penis being cut off story.
We try to make every experience a unique one.
It's like
one.
Being in the green room.
Seriously. You get to hear Doc and Ed having a fight with Johnny during the break. How are things in William World?
Let's have a look. I'm still on cloud nine since winning the audience award at the video game movie. That's what we're here to talk about today, I guess.
Now listen to you all become a media professional,
yeah,
all savvy.
Yeah, he's so cocky. Look at him.
Jesus. I mean, have you been doing a lot of interviews for this, for the Missile Command World Record attempt?
Yeah, I've done more interviews in the last week and a half than I did my whole life. I spent last week down in Austin, Texas for the whole South by Southwest thing. First part of the week's the film festival, second half of the week's the music fest, and it became a crazy town.
Are you totally walking around in sunglasses now with like a press pass and telling people that blackberrying people and stuff? I mean, have you become a player on us?
No, we got into a little bit of that. We got back this weekend. Of course, you can see that I got some sun. When I took off out of here, what was that, over a week ago Saturday, it was 28 degrees that morning. When I landed, it was 90.
All right, now for the background here, for people who, and then we'll take a break. And I swear to God, we'll keep it short. We'll come back and we'll talk to you about the thing. The background of this was, and we've had you on several times now. This is the fourth time. Would you say that you are the world's greatest? And you don't have to be modest here. Would you say you are the best player in the world at Missile Command?
No, I would say that I am not the best player.
Okay, but you would say that you're in the top what, 5, 10?
Alive, still on the planet, playing today. Yeah, most probably one of the top five.
So top five Missile Command play. Now, people who are under the age of 30 may not remember, Sarah, may not remember Missile Command. Missile Command was one of the great video games of all time. Without Missile Command, there would be no Windows point and click system, as I always make sure to note, because it really created the put the mouse somewhere, click, you know, action, event, blah, blah, blah. So you have been playing Missile Command, what, did you say, nonstop since it first came out?
No, I played it hardcore the first 3 or 4 years that it was out, and then I had about a 15-year absence with the game. But then once I went back to it and saw how well I was taken on to the game, I decided to push myself farther and farther. I may be one of the top players at it, but I don't think I'm probably the best player now.
You had a Missile Command renaissance.
The Missile Command guru.
Yes, okay. So you set your sights on the world record for Missile Command, and I know the first time, or one of your early attempts was thwarted when the circuit board, the motherboard, actually burnt out during the game. Is that right?
Yeah, that was during the Asteroids attempt. That has finally, after all the dust has settled, it has landed me in 13th place of all time, and the power board smoked.
And you actually broke the game. You were too much a player for the game to take.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the first time, but yep, that's the way the outcome, that's the way it came out.
Excellent. So, now, when was this most recent attempt at the Missile Command world record? When did you actually do it? Did it make the attempt?
Yeah, the last serious attempt I made, and it shows it in the movie, was Memorial Day 2005. That was in Newburgh.
So that was right after we went off the air. So that was in May, right? So
I came on and we spoke about it, but then unfortunately you guys weren't around to hear the news.
Yes. So I'll tell you what, we'll take a brief break here. When we come back, we'll talk in a moment the results of that contest. And then we will talk about this documentary they've made about you, which I know has been very well received and was at the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, which is a huge deal. When we come back, we will talk about this documentary and we'll talk about the outcome of that contest. So hang on, don't go anywhere. We're talking to William Carlton. He's one of the top 5 Missile Command players in all of God's green creation. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. You stay right there. I feel like I gotta be wearing a shiny suit or something. This. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It is Tuesday. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. We are live from Portland, by the way. Back our second week back on the air. We came back last week. Glad to be here. Spread the word if you would, please. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. In just a moment, we'll get back to William Carlton. What?
I think your computer's still playing something.
Is it? I don't think so. No, it's... Oh, wait. Okay, there it is. I'm sorry. It's Electric Funeral. But Black Sabbath is just looping in the background. In just a moment, we'll get back to William Carlton. He is one of the top 5 Missile Command players in the world, and a documentary about his world record attempt won the Audience Award in Austin at the South by Southwest Film Festival, and it's going to be screening in Portland. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's Tim Riley.
The bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon. CBS Radio presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Jim Riley reporting. Well, the president says we will win whatever we're trying to do in Iraq eventually, but we're going to be there until 08. Don't everyone ask to come home early.
08? I can't imagine. Why would they pick 08? I can't think of a reason.
08.
I can't think of any significance as to why that they would keep the troops there and then bring them home in 2008. Why they would choose to please and placate the public by giving us what we want in 2008. I can't think of why that would be.
Meanwhile, Iran is known as aiding the Al-Qaeda terrorists, so they must be killed. That's Iran, the country that we're due to hate by the end of this week.
Excellent.
Let's do something. And they probably have missiles that can strike New York at any moment.
They're orbiting Sputnik over us as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Isaac Hayes may have quit his job as the voice of the chef on South Park after a disagreement, but his character will live on when the TV comedy returns to Comedy Central this week.
Well, you know, Isaac Hayes wasn't even their first choice. Barry White was their first choice.
Mm-hmm.
They only picked Isaac Hayes because they couldn't get Barry White.
So it'll launch tomorrow with a new episode entitled The Return of the Chef, marking the triumphant homecoming of Lusty School cafeteria cook James Chef McElroy.
Well, so wait a minute. So is he going to be voiced by Isaac Hayes?
It doesn't say.
In other words, is it an episode that they taped before someone quit for him?
Oh, that could be.
Because you know, he had a stroke,
mm-hmm.
and yet somehow, amazingly, was able to put out a press release quitting because of the way they were handling Scientology. So draw your own conclusions about that. So I wonder, are they replacing him with somebody else, or is this like an old episode, or you know, an episode taped but not aired.
Fox said they assume someone besides Hayes will supply Schiff's voice. Details of the new episode are vague.
Oh, I see. I smell publicity. Okay.
A judge halted sales of the Notorious B.I.G.'s breakthrough 1994 album, Ready to Die, after a jury decided the title song, which was used
was
part...
Was crap?
Mm-hmm, was used part of an Ohio player's tune without permission.
They wish that Puffy Combs could just be found guilty of being an untalented ass. And just, I mean, you know, not of sampling, not of, you know, tax evasion. Just found guilty of being an untalented clown and shot out back somewhere.
Apparently, the jury decided Bad Boy Entertainment and executive producer Sean Diddy Combs illegally used part of the Ohio Players 1992 song, Singing in the Morning.
All right, then.
That's that.
All right, there you go. Let's welcome back to the Rick Emerson Show, William Carlton. Now, William, you are one of the top five Missile Command players in the world. We've had you on several times before. Now, the name of the movie, is the movie called High Score?
Name of the movie is High Score. That is correct.
And it won the Audience Award in Austin at the South by Southwest Film Festival. And it's been picked up as one of the geek-centric picks on the web. And by the way, the website is High Score Movie. That's all one word. HighScoreMovie.com. And, okay, so you, where was your most recent Missile Command World Record attempt held?
At Galaxy Games in Newburgh.
And that was last Memorial Day. Now, what, we weren't on the air to cover that. What was the outcome of that world record attempt, William?
Well, you know, I was ready to give up that information at the time, and if we can talk again after the movie.
Oh, listen to you being all slick with promoting the film. See? Good for you. I'm glad you've learned how to manipulate the media. I'm proud of you, William. So
yeah,
good for you.
I'd really like it if you'd go and see it firsthand. It might be the only chance we get to show it on the big screen in Portland. I really hope we have a big turnout.
Seriously, dude, have you ever went to work in like a promo department or like a PR firm somewhere? You could probably do it. Because I'm trying to get the answer out of you. You're like, well, Rick, I don't want to give it away. Go see the film. And then you throw in the, it might be your only chance to see it. That's fantastic. You're totally learning how to work the people. Good for you. So... the film's going to be showing April 8th, 2:45 p.m.
It's a Saturday.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what the hell? Why you got to keep a brother from seeing it? The film's going to be showing April 8th, 2:45 at the Laurelhurst Theater. The party will continue over at Ground Control for the afterset, and it's going to be the only big screen showing in Portland. The site is HighScoreMovie.com. And this is a dumb question, but I've gotten a lot of email about you over the years that you've been on. People want to know how can they do this? If someone is really good at whatever, Asteroids, you know, Mortal Kombat, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Tetris, whatever it is, how does somebody get involved in this, you know, in this race for the world title? Who do you call about that?
Okay, that's a good question. I have a lot of people ask me that, let's say after the screenings when I do the Q&A or if I go somewhere and do a meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
That is a question that gets asked a lot. And what I tell them is, you know, after you've found the game that you're really curious about, you need to go to the website twingalaxies.com. Now, I just found out about this website in the beginning of 2003, and I was in the books by the end of 2003. I think had I known this website was available earlier, I may have made some moves earlier. But regardless, you figure out the game you're going to do it on, you go on to twingalaxies.com, if it's arcade, you click on the arcade section, type in the name of the game, and then up's going to come a list, and you're going to see what you're up against for first place. You might even see what you're up against for 20th place. But if you film it, and you end up, let's say, eighth place all time, don't worry about it. Send it in. At least you're on the list as number eight. Maybe someday you'll make an attempt at another one. You don't have to wait until you have first place to send it in to get it officiated.
Now, I know you tried to make the Asteroids World Record, and you had the circuit board burnout. Missile Command, what other games would you say that you are? Are there other games that you have vast skill in?
Yeah, you know, last time I was on, we talked about Q-Bert, and we talked about Galaga. And Galaga seems to be a favorite with a lot of people. That seems to have a very big fan base.
It's had a long, you know, that game has never gone out of style, and that's one of those games that people, there's some of those games you remember fondly, but then you go back and you play them, and they're ass, you know. But that game is everything you remember it being. It's just as good as people remember.
Yeah, it's a great game. You can still pretty much put one of those in just about any location, and it will make money.
What are the are the most frequently competed at games? In other words, in this world of professional record setting on video games, what are the most frequently competed at games just in general?
Well, nowadays I'd have to say it's more along the lines of modern gaming and console gaming. It's very rare. Matter of fact, almost 20 years went by without someone playing over 24 hours on a video game from 1989 or before. We're talking about classic arcade gaming. Now, I'm not 100% sure of this because I don't keep track of everything, but one of the officiators at Twin Galaxies informed me that in 2003, when I played Asteroids over a day, I became the first player in 20 years to play a classic-style arcade unit for over a day.
That is, and so, because it's all shifted to console stuff then.
Most of the modern gaming and all the record keeping, it seems like for every one arcade game record we get to add or change to the books, there's 50 or 100 that get changed in the console world.
Yeah, and see, so, but that's almost less special then. It's, you know what I mean? It seems like it lacks the flair and the panache of setting a record with a stand-up game.
Right. Well, I think I've started something here because since I did that in 2003, not only have I gone on to do that again once with Missile Command, but there have been other players that have come out and played for over a day. One of them is Brandon Erickson, Portland's own. He was there during one of my attempts for Missile Command. I explained to him fully what I was doing. And here's the crazy thing. He was only 22 years old. He listened to what I was doing. He followed my advice about finding the game. For him, it became Star Wars.
Are we talking the sit-down Star Wars with the use the Force, Luke?
Yeah, well, he plays the stand-up unit, but it is the original.
It is the original, I can't shake him. That one?
Correct, and you have to blow up the Death Star.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he played for 54 hours and 10 minutes.
God damn.
And he missed the world record by only 7 million points. He did it down at Ground Control. He did it during the week that Star Wars was coming out. I really feel bad for the guy that he's second all time, because if he made first place, it would have been world news.
That'll make you want to kill yourself. Yeah. Oh, that's it. All right, so it's called High Score. The website is highscoremovie.com. And it's William Carlton. We're going to have you on undoubtedly again. What we'll probably do, we'll probably try to get you on once more right before the film shows, April 8th, 2:45, at the Laurelhurst Theater. And if you want to find out more, go to highscoremovie.com. William, you are an inspiration to geeks here and the world over, my friend.
Thank you very much. Hey, I wanted to surprise you with this. In the credits, I get to thank some people along the way, and Rick, you're one of them.
No, really? In the credits for the film?
You are in the credits for the film.
Thank you. Not only are you, is everybody going to go see it because they don't know the outcome? Not only are you pimping the it's one showing only, now you know that, of course, I have to buy a copy because I'm in the credits. So, well, thank you. That means a lot to us. And I know you've been, you are one of those guests that we've gotten a lot of email about. So thank you for remembering us in the closing credits. It means a lot. And I will definitely be there on April 8th to see it. I'm sure we'll talk to you right before then.
Sure, and I want everybody to remember that the after set after the party is down at Ground Control.
Excellent. Thank you. William Carlton, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. All right, that's William Carlton. All right. Boy, that guy's become just a media machine. Remember how we had him on the first time and he was just all like, so I played some Missile Command. Now he's just all after party, baby.
Yeah.
Don't call my people. I'm in the book. Have my people call your people. Yeah, well, what's the outcome? I can't tell you. Come down and see it. Oh, really? Yes. One showing only. I mean, he's become savvy. Our little William Carlton's all grown up. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's take a break here. We'll come back and we'll finish things up around the corner. Maybe we can get to some of this terrible bumper music that's sitting here. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Like us, the three world famous Phil Henry Show at 7. 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show returns around the corner, live from Portland. My friends, Johnson 970, proud part of the CBS radio family. Don't go anywhere. As part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970.
I made a mistake.
You're making making that damn you automation face.
Aren't there more commercials there?
There are more. There weren't more commercials there, like, when I started.
Do we have to take another break?
I don't know.
It's all very confusing.
The times, they're constantly changing.
That's a song.
Did you intentionally just do that?
No.
Is that sort of like a Data from Star Trek sings Dylan? The times are constantly changing, Captain.
No, actually, no, I played all of them because that's the, like, never mind. Ignore me.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't either. This computer changes times on me.
Okay.
Oh, as time elapses. The times do change.
I don't understand what's going on.
So see, it says there's a commercial break at 2:53, but that's not true.
I'm just over here talking to myself.
No. Why don't you talk to the guy online about Donkey Kong?
All right.
That does sound like...
Before I do that, let me read this email. This is from blah, blah, blah. Rick, last Monday night I was falling asleep watching the 11 p.m. news. As I drifted off, I caught a story of my old boss in jail clothes being arraigned for murder. Good God. I woke my wife. She said, hey, that looks just like your old boss. Obviously not the sharpest tool in the shed, though to his credit, his wife spilled the beans. Still, he was a very business smart guy and had built up $100K a month of business in 6 years. Maybe he'll make a living selling cigarettes and shivs in the Gray Bar Hotel. That's fantastic. I've done that. You know, when I lived in the... Spokane, that happened. You would occasionally just see, you'd see the, you know, the, like some guy you knew being like taken out of his house in the. Yeah.
My SPD ended up in a Guam jail.
In Guam. What was he doing in Guam? Wait, hold on. Underage hookers.
No, he was selling marijuana
in Guam.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Look, if you need proof that drugs make you freaking stupid. It seems like the de facto evidence is the fact that you get all these guys who decide to sell drugs and they decide to do it in like Thailand. You know what I mean? Where are you going to sell drugs? Like you could sell drugs here, no one would care. You could sell drugs in my neighborhood, no one would care.
There's a white man selling drugs on the streets of Guam.
Yeah, it's always some jackhole who goes, where are you? I'm going to sell these drugs in Sri Lanka. It's like Gary Glitter. Let's be very clear about this. I'm not advocating.
Americans going abroad doing illegal activities.
I'm not advocating.
You can do them here. You shouldn't be doing them anywhere.
No, because I'm talking about child whores. Oh. You shouldn't be doing those anywhere either. Yeah. I'm not advocating that you go anywhere to pick up underage whores. It's not a thing. It's wrong. It's wrong on every level. My point, though, is that if you were of a criminal mind and you decided that you were going to go pick up underage whores... Why Vietnam? I mean, look, I've never been there. I don't know much about it. I'm no Rhodes Scholar or nothing. But it does seem likely that, like, that's a thing that's going to end badly for you. That's perhaps a place you don't want to be engaging in any sort of sex trade like that. Because as bad as it's going to be, you know, if that's your kind of amusement, it's going to be like 80 times worse there. So just, you know, word of the wise. Let's see. Rick, B for Vendetta was awesome. F Matt with the stainless steel locking mailbox. All right, thank you. Rick Emerson, show you have a Donkey Kong comment.
Yeah, hey, I basically think it's about the coolest game and the most, one of the most influential in the video game universe, because Mario is all over the place now. And, I love it. I don't know, what's the great mind of Rick Emerson think about Donkey Kong?
I can see Sarah. Hold on. If you listen, you can actually hear Sarah's brain turning off. You can actually hear her synapses going to sleep while we have this discussion. I will say this, because we're talking to William Carlton, who's a video game expert. And I will say this about Donkey Kong. It is vastly influential, because if you go back and look, I mean, the number... I think we did the top five most influential video games at one point. And I'm pretty sure that Donkey Kong was number one, because... I think we determined that it had the most spin-offs, and it had there were the most other games that would not exist were it not for Donkey Kong. If it were not for that game, I think we figured out that is the more games would vanish in the absence of Donkey Kong than anything else. I will say, though, that ground control place, which there was some barfly event or something there at some point. We went to the ground control place, and we were trying to play a whole bunch of things. And Dennis Pitzenbarger and I were playing Donkey Kong, I think it was. And the weird thing is, when you play those old video games, your reflexes, like good reflexes, don't make any difference, because the controls are all slow, the action's all bad. Like, especially if you played video games recently, or if you play console games, you play the Xbox or whatever, you go back and you play Donkey Kong, and it's like you move the joystick or you hit the jump button, and it's like three, 4, 5 seconds later, the character finally reacts. It's difficult to play any of those old school video games and be any good at them, because you actually have to sort of dumb yourself down in a way, because the controls are so much less responsive than you remember them being, you know?
Yeah, I remember we used to have to beat on that jump button to make sure that Mario would jump at the right time.
Seriously.
In the doors.
I was having this whole discussion with somebody the other day about track and field, and how in track and field it used to have the thing where you had to use the comb or the pencil to try to get the double run button going quickly. And then at some point the video game guys figured out that we were all freaking, like, screwing with the game, and they put out this different version of track and field that had the buttons, you know, that they were all like... It had this sort of ridge around the button, so you couldn't do that. So, yeah, I would urge you, go back and play some of those old video games. You are not nearly as good as you remember yourself being, because the controls are all, they're all wacky. All right, there you go. Let's see. Let me read these. Should I get through today's emails? You know, in fact, here's what I'm going to do. Just because I don't have enough time to do anything meaningful here. Now, I don't have time to do The Office Confidential either. What time is it, 55? Yeah, I got like 3 minutes.
Yeah, we have 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'd rather
go ahead.
No, I should read this. I'm just going to read a stack of emails here.
Okay, that's
these are emails that have been stacking up during the week, like so much cholesterol into my arteries. I won't give the full... This is like when we had that email from somebody inside Intercom last week. I won't say who this is. This is from someone... I will not say who. This is from someone working inside KXL. We'll say that. So we've had what? We've had two people from Intercom. This is now somebody from inside KXL. Rick, says this person from inside KXL radio. True story. A minivan is parked outside our building on the street. As you pull into our driveway, you see the back window, and in large stickers it says, "Bring back Rick Emerson, noon to 3. I think I'll leave a... Okay. You think if somebody was that devoted, you think that they'd be, you know, checking the website. They'd be finding things out. I think I'll leave a note on their windshield telling the guy you're back on the air. I'm pretty sure it's an OHSU worker, judging the parking from it. Funny thing is, it probably pissed off Lars as he drove in. Thank you. And then it signed an anonymous person inside KXL. Rick, this email says, welcome back. I'm one of your legion of silent but devoted fans in the pick something up and deliver it somewhere demographic you talked about today. I'm a field service technician on computers. I'm in the car all the time. It's great to have my afternoon void filled. Keep listening, spreading the word. Let's see. What else? I'm just going to do these one at a time as I go through. Let's see. Rick, I'm doing my part to keep you going. I just survived I survived the unpleasantness. Oh, yeah, we have this shirt that we're selling today. It says, I survived the unpleasantness 2.0. You should have seen us geeking out over your show at the Horse Brass the last few nights. You have no idea how happy we all are. Rick. I just received the painting of Ace Frehley that I bought off eBay. Okay, I didn't have time to talk about this last week. This is the weirdest thing. I'll read the email. It says, I just received a painting of Ace Frehley that I bought off eBay. It's signed by Rick Emerson. I think some jackass is trying to imposter you, but it's a pretty good painting, and I have to say I got it for a pretty good price. Check it out here. And it's signed, the pizza kitchen at the Kennedy School is glad that you were back. Signed Pete. Oh, I'm sorry, the pizza kitchen, Mike in particular, at the Kennedy School is glad that you're back. Son, Pete, P.S. say hi to Sarah if she remembers me. Yeah. You remember him in the pizza kitchen?
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
No idea what's going on. Somebody sent me this link, and this is while we were off the air. There was on eBay a painting. It was like an oil painting, and it was that oil painting. It fell into that nether region where it wasn't really bad as such, but it wasn't really good. Like, it better than I could do. Like, it was a step up from stick figures, but... Like, not anything you'd really want to show anybody. Of Ace Frehley from Kiss, and the artist had signed it as Rick Emerson. And it was being sold on eBay, and the guy apparently lived in Salem. And I actually went so far as to try to bid on it, because I figured that I got some doppelganger, like I was some twin or whatever, somebody existing in a parallel universe who's painting Kiss photos. So I don't know. I have no idea who did it. I have no idea why it was signed Rick Emerson. I don't know anything about anything. Rick, I was wondering, did Matt get heavier? Aw. No, Matt is fine. I just saw Matt at a poker game a couple weeks ago. Matt is...
Got rid of that 7 belly fat.
Why would you say that?
Well, it's the latest trend.
He called in, he just sounded a little more muffled than usual. I guess Top 40 Radio does that to you. No, I saw Matt I saw Matt a couple weeks ago. Matt's looking as fine as ever. Matt and Clyde actually both. Clyde also dropped a lot of weight. Have you guys seen Clyde? Clyde is
no, he's in Beaverton somewhere.
Yes, he's their guiding.
So Matt's dropped a lot of weight too.
No, healthy as a horse. Well, you know, he's not. Not having to sit there reading Imus, you know, anymore. Yeah, we just like he actually has to work now. So, anyway. All right. We want to thank CNN Radio's Gary Baumgarten, CNN Radio's Jim Roop. We want to thank William Carlton. And we want to thank, what, Sarah?
Nobody.
Oh, okay. The Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah Exillon for Johnson 970 CBS Radio. Tim Riley in the newsroom. Like us next. World famous Phil Henry Show at 7. Back in 21 hours. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.